Your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings, the second chapter. 2 Kings chapter 2 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 423. We'll be reading responsibly just four verses, verses 19 through 22. Verses 19 through 22 of 2 Kings chapter 2, page 423. And let's stand, please, for this reading. And the many men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my lord seeth, but the water is naught, and the ground barren. And he said, Bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thou hast given us thy word, and we're responsible to hear it, to act upon it. Help that that responsibility might be intensified in this hour. Help that we might be hearers of thy word and doers as well. Meet with us in power tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight on the subject, the worst kind of abortion. The worst kind of abortion. I want you to take your Bibles and open them once again, please, to 2 Kings chapter number 2. 2 Kings chapter number 2. I want to read a verse or two from the verses we read a while ago. And then I want you to keep your Bibles open there because I want to explain a word or two a little later in the service. In the 19th verse, And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant. I want you to notice that. Pleasant city. Situation pleasant. And as my Lord seeth, in other words, it looks pleasant. As you can see, it looks good. But the water is naught. That word naught could be said naughty. Something wrong with the water. And the ground barren. Look down in verse number 21. The last line. Thus saith the last half. Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. We'll come back to it in a few minutes. Our Heavenly Father, I realize that someday out yonder at the judgment seat, I will have to face this hour. I will have to face it for whether it be wood, hay, stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stone. And just as I must likewise face this hour, likewise must these dear people face it. So I pray as speaker and hearer tonight, we shall give our best to the cause before us. In Jesus' name, amen. What a beautiful city it was. The people of the city said to Elisha, They said the city is pleasant to look at. What enchantment. This particular city was beyond any shadow of a doubt the most beautiful of all the cities of the Middle East, in my opinion, and especially the most beautiful of all the cities in what we call the Bible lands. The vacationer often chose it. The merchant thrived there. Many people moved there. It would be, and I hesitate to start naming cities, but it would be somewhat like our Palm Beach, Florida, or somewhat like our Honolulu, Hawaii, or somewhat like Palm Springs, California. Or San Diego. It was the city, kind of city, where vacationers love to go. It was beautiful to the eye. It was pleasant. It was prosperous. Many moved there to live. Thousands flocked there on holidays. Its inhabitants were the envy of most of the other people in the other cities in the land. But there was beneath that exterior a heartbreak. A heavy load was borne by all of the citizens of that city. Now I'm sure they would not have shown it. I'm sure they would not have revealed it to you if you'd come to their city and boasted, bragged on their city and told them how lovely it was. I'm sure they would have accepted with gratitude your compliments and would not have told you the burden that they bore. But this beautiful city, pleasant to the eyes, had a heavy burden. They tried to hide it. You couldn't have known. And this was the burden. The Bible says the water was naught and the ground was barren. That means the water was naughty. There was something wrong with the water. The water was drinkable. It wasn't impossible to use it for human consumption. But it was naughty, had something wrong with it. And that something wrong with it caused the ground to be barren. Now listen carefully, because here's the sermon. The word barren there is a very interesting word. It's the word that we would use for miscarriage. The ground was barren. The ground miscarried. Or the word abortion. The ground aborted. There was something in the water that caused sterility of the ground. The water was all right, but it produced sterility. For example, each spring brought forth hope. And tiny shoots would burst through the soil. Buds and leaves would cover the trees. Everything looked like a bumper crop. Then the fruit appeared. Then it happened. The fruit fell to the ground prematurely and aborted. Are you listening to me? The fruit fell to the ground. If you're going to talk back there, slip out in the hallway, ushers. Usher, if you're going to talk back there, hey, back in the back, slip out in the hallway and talk. There are folks back there who want to hear. And if you want to talk, I don't mind the ushers talking, but slip out in the hallway if you have to, somebody has to talk with you. And he said again, so you folks that could not hear back there would be able to hear. The city was lovely. It was beautiful. Gorgeous. Everything looked all right. The water tasted good. The water was not bad for human consumption. But each spring, the land would be covered with the tiny shoots, the buds, the leaves. Everything would look all right. Even the fruit would begin to appear. And then all of a sudden, the fruit would fall to the ground prematurely and be aborted. It started all right, but it did not come to fruition, and it did not develop till it was usable. It simply was destroyed and rotted on the ground. The men of the city came to the man of God. That's always a good idea. I wish the President of the United States had enough sense to come to the men of God today and find the answers. I'm not talking about your charismatic crowd. I'm talking about people that believe in salvation by grace through faith, and those men of God. I'm not talking about the liberal crowd. I'm not talking about a compromising prayer breakfast where everybody comes that believes nothing or something. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, would God, the leaders of our country, had enough sense to contact real men of God who walk with God and know God. And so they came to God's man. Elisha took a cruise, the Bible says, a new cruise. He put salt in that cruise and cast salt into the water of the city. When that salt was cast into the water supply, the Bible says that the water was healed and was healed even to that day. And once the man of God had placed salt in the water supply, from that moment, the trees began to bear fruit. The crops began to bring forth harvest. Everything was all right. What was the difference? God's man had poured salt into, are you listening to me? God's man had poured salt into the water supply. Now, here's the church of 1988. We look good. We are sincere. We believe right. We give well. We put on a good front. We do church work. We love the Lord. We pray some. We read our Bible some every day. We love the church. We love the preacher. We're not hypocrites. The shoots burst forth. The trees bloom. The buds come. But the fruit never comes. It is miscarried and aborted. Fundamentalism is pictured by this city today in many areas. We have solid men and churches who believe right, who pray some, read their Bible some, and everything looks all right. But the honest truth is, in many of our churches, many of our Christian lives, we are not bearing fruit. You know why? Because in the Bible, salt is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. You recall over in 2 Thessalonians, it says, he who hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way. That's talking about the rapture, when the Holy Spirit will be taken out of the way, when he calls God's people up into the sky at the rapture. So the salt savors, and then it's gone, and then the tribulation period will come because the Holy Spirit, or the salt in God's people, is taken out of the way. I'm saying that salt, the salt that Elisha poured into the water supply of this city, is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. Christians get off to a good start. They walk down the aisle, they get saved, they're genuinely saved. They get off to a wonderful start. And they bloom, and they blossom, and they sing the songs, and they give the testimonies, and they come to church, and they tithe. They learn to read their Bibles every day if it kills them. They learn to pray for a while every day. But our Christian people, before they bear fruit, are being aborted. There's a miscarriage. There's something wrong. What is that something wrong? I don't know what it is. The average Christian in America has no relationship whatsoever with the Holy Spirit. None. That's why you have a good bud, good blossoms, good bloom. The tree looks fine. The orchard looks fine. The crop looks prosperous. And the outlook is good. But all of a sudden, the fruit does not come. Why? Because the average Christian in this room tonight has not spoken one word to the Holy Spirit all day today. And the average Christian in this room tonight knows nothing about the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And the average person in this room tonight, he is not a person. He's an influence. He's a Bible doctrine. And that's why Christians are growing and budding and blossoming, but the fruit is not coming forth because God's people do not fellowship and know the person of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what's happening to churches all across this nation. A church starts. It does well. A crowd, a few people gather, and then it grows. And after a while, you've got 100 people. In a year or two, maybe 200, maybe 300. They're a nice little building. And the church does well. And it's the talk of the neighborhood, maybe, or the talk of the town. The buds come. The shoots come forth. It blossoms. It looks good. Then all of a sudden, that church begins to go down. All of a sudden, the crowds go down. I'm talking to preachers all over this room tonight who know what I'm talking about because it's happened in your church. And everything is fine. But all of a sudden, the fruit is not born. The fruit is aborted. Why? I'll tell you why. Because we Baptist people have let the era of the charismatic movement be about the only talk about the Holy Spirit in America today. Baptist people need to find out that there is a Holy Spirit. And Baptist people need to find out that He is a person. And Baptist people need to find out that He is a friend who indwells every single believer
and offers his mighty power to every preacher and every church and every Christian in this land. I'm not talking about some kind of a hodgepodge of a tongue jabbering. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about a bunch of Hollywood movie stars talking in tongues. I'm not talking about that substitute for the power of God. I'm talking about the real person of the Holy Spirit who lives in the body of every believer. And yet the average church in America today, it blossoms, it blooms, it grows for a while, and then it fades. Why? I'll tell you why. We've left the Holy Spirit out of our lives and out of our churches. Same thing's true with preachers. All of you know preachers who bloomed and blossomed just like the city of Jericho did. All of you know preachers who started off well, and the blessings of God were obviously upon their ministry. And it looked good. Their sermons were great. And there was a certain kind of a budding of the tree and the blossoming of the orchard in their lives. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like it began to subside. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. We're trying to do God's work in the energy of the flesh. That's exactly what happened. Let me tell you something. Better if you stuttered and stammered in the Holy Spirit power than waxed eloquent in your own flesh. There's a desperate need tonight for God's men to walk with God, to know His Spirit, to follow His Spirit, to fellowship with His Spirit, to talk with His Spirit, to pray to His Spirit. Oh, you say with the house, you're a little mixed up on your doctrine there. You're not supposed to pray to the Spirit. Well, somebody sold you a wooden nickel. I can tell you've been to college. You've been messing around with a theologian. You've been messing around with somebody who spends his life teaching the Bible, no time winning souls. You've been messing around with somebody who spends his life teaching the Bible like a mathematics book that never conducted a camp meeting in his life. Never has saw an altar call. Never had an old-fashioned revival. Somebody said to Dr. John Rice one time, they said, Dr. Rice, said, you made a horrible mistake tonight. Said, you prayed a little while and you said, oh, God. And then you said, Jesus, I love you. Then you said, Holy Spirit, bless me as I preach. And this preacher said, Dr. Rice, theologically that is incorrect. You don't pray to Jesus. You don't pray to the Holy Spirit. You pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Rice said, I'm in the family. I talked to everybody at the table. Fool you on your dead theology. Fool you on your dry theology. Give us a generation of people that realize there is a Holy Spirit. Our growth is aborted. Why? We're doing the work and He's not doing it. Our growth as Christians is aborted, miscarriage. Why? We're doing the work, He's not doing it. Our churches are having aborted growth. We have the blossoms. We have the blooms. We look good. We say amen well. We sing our songs well. We organize well. We grow a while and then we go down. Why? I'll tell you why. Because we're depending on the arm of the flesh to do it and not the mighty power of the Holy Spirit of God. These people lived in this lovely city. It was beautiful. Everything was fine. Tourists came to visit it and rejoiced in its beauty. Merchantmen came to start businesses there so they could be and have lucrative and prosperous enterprises. People came there on weekends for pleasure. Folks came there on vacation. It was the vacation spot of the nation. But down beneath that beauty, down beneath that veneer of prosperity, there was something wrong with that city. It was down inside the city. It could not be seen from without. It was down beneath the city, in the water supply, in the source of the water. There was something in that water that did not keep it from being good to drink or for human consumption. But there was something in that water that caused it to be sick. It would help a tree to flourish a while, and then the fruit would fall off the tree prematurely and be aborted. And that's what's happening, not only to Christians, to churches, to preachers. That's what's happening to bus routes across America. Bus captains start their bus routes. It looks good. They fill the bus. And everything is fine. What happens? After a while, they lose their interest in that bus route. You know why? They're doing it in the arm of the flesh and not in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Same thing is happening in our Sunday school classes. Somebody's given a Sunday school class. Everything flourishes for what? Let me tell you something. Preacher, let me just take a minute to tell you something. What you need to do is get out of your study for a while and get off the golf course for a while and get out of the bowling lanes for a while and get out of the gymnasium for a while and get out yonder somewhere and walk with your God and get to know your God and get God's power upon your life and get the salt in the water supply. So not only will you have a pretty tree and pretty blossoms and beautiful buds, but bless God, you'll have fruit that remains. That's what you need. You don't get that because you go to seminary. You don't get that because you go to pastor school. You don't get that because you took theology. You don't get that because you got a doctor's degree. You get that from walking hour upon hour, day upon day, week upon week, month upon month, year upon year with the blessed Holy Spirit of God. That's what you ladies need tonight. That's what you laymen need tonight. Oh, you're on the outside. You look mighty good. You carry a Scofield Bible. Use all the lingo. I love the Lord. Praise God for His goodness to me. Hasn't God been good to me in all those cliches? You know them all. But after a while, things began to stop. Springtime brings its blooms, and that's fine. Springtime brings its blossoms, and that's good. But down way beneath those blossoms, and down beneath those amens, and down beneath those beautiful songs, and down beneath those teachings of Sunday school, way down where you live, there is no communion with the Holy Spirit of God. And you do not have His power. Let me tell you something. You can, preachers, blame your field all you want to. You're in the South, blame the Southern Baptists. You're in the North, blame the Catholics. You're in the West, blame the Mormons. You're in the East, blame anybody you want to blame. But you blame all you want to blame. But your problem is the fella you shave every morning. And that fella's problem is he does not walk. I don't mean 5 minutes a day. I'm talking about a life walking in the Spirit of God. Elisha said, bring me a new cruse. They brought him a new cruse. He said, put some salt in it. They put some salt in it. He took the salt and poured that salt into the water supply. And it was healed. Now then, same blossoms, same shoots, same blooms. But bless God, the fruit didn't fall off the tree. The fruit ripened. What's the difference? One word, salt. What's the difference in a Christian keeps bearing fruit year after year after year? What's the difference in a church keeps on bearing fruit year after year after year? You folks that came to pastor school 15 years ago, you saw the same thing this morning you saw 15 years ago. Why? I'll tell you why. Because this ministry is not built on a bunch of pep and enthusiasm and zeal and testimonies from Hollywood movie stars that drink their liquor on Saturday night and testify on Sunday. This church is built on the person of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It is not by might, it is not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Salt was very rare. Still is rare in the Middle East. Because it is, they make substitutes. They made these substitutes for salt, made shoots. These substitutes for salt made blossoms. These substitutes for salt made buds. But these substitutes for salt didn't make fruit. And these substitutes for the Holy Spirit in our churches make blossoms. These substitutes for the Holy Spirit make shoots. These substitutes for the Holy Spirit make buds. But only the Holy Spirit can make fruit. Pep, I love it. But that doesn't bring anything but blossoms, buds, and shoots. Enthusiasm, I love it. But that only brings blossoms, buds, and shoots. Programs, nothing wrong with them. But they alone bring nothing but blossoms, buds, and shoots. Conventions, degrees, education, plans, seminars, programs, all of them. I'm not fighting them. I'm not against all of it. But brother, I'll tell you what. It'd be a good thing for us some year to have no conventions at all. And let the churches of Jesus Christ go out in the woods somewhere and learn to know there is a living God. There is a Holy Spirit. And let us become acquainted with the person and power. Let's pour some salt in the water supply. Some have no salt in the water supply because they've never known about the Holy Spirit. They're like the disciples in Acts 19 who said, we have not so much as heard the Holy Spirit be given. Unfortunate is that church member who goes to a church where the preacher does not preach often about the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God ought to be as real to you as your husband is. He ought to be as real to you, are you listening to me, as your wife is. He ought to be as real to you as your children are. He ought to be as real to you as your mother is. He ought to be as real to you as your father. He ought to be as real to you as your best friend. You ought to say more words to him than you say to your wife. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? I said you ought to say more words to the Holy Spirit than you say to your wife. Now, I'll tell you something. Preachers come to all of America. And they say, I've never met this Hiles fella. I want to see what he looks like. I walk in the door there. They say, there's the custodian. Now, when's Hiles coming in? They figure, pastor of a church like this, we've had this morning, as far as we can count, 624 people saved this morning alone. And they say, what's he look like? And they leave and they say, what's the answer? Let me tell you, if there's an answer, this is it. I speak more words to the Holy Spirit from this mouth than I speak to any other living human being. That's why the water supply stays in pretty good shape. I say it again. I speak more words to the Holy Spirit than I speak to anybody in the whole world. Now, the average Christian in America does not even know he's a person. He's an influence to them. Beloved, meet him. Meet him. My first encounter and meeting of the Holy Spirit is just as real and just as startling to me, and maybe more so, than my conversion experience. I do not get out of bed in the morning without saying, good morning, Holy Spirit. I do not get in the car in the morning without saying, Holy Spirit, lead me, what route should I take to my office today? I do not get to my office without having spent a long time talking with the Holy Spirit. He lives in me. He indwells me. What right do I have to ignore Him? Talking to Christians tonight. Many Christians tonight. The blossoms look good. You've got all the cliches. You know exactly when to say amen. If tonight I stood up here and said, I hate the United Nations, you'd roll in the aisle with joy. If I said tonight, I believe that this book, the King James Bible, has been preserved word for word, you'd talk in tongues. I mean, you got a good orchard. Looks good. Your blossoms are beautiful. Your buds are fine. Your shoots are coming forth. But the honest, simple truth is, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in this room tonight who are bearing no fruit. Your fruit's aborted. Your fruits miscarried. Why? Tell you why. Because you have never learned about the person of the Holy Spirit. There are others, not only who have never known, But there's some who have known, but no longer know. Like haunted houses, spirits hover in the house, but nobody much lives there. Christians like spooks who've known better days. Churches all over this nation who once knew what it was to walk in the Spirit, to teach in the Spirit, to preach in the Spirit. Now then, living in memories of yesterday. Listen. All of this nation tonight, there are churches that used to have fruit born. Churches that used to have the Holy Spirit in His power and know what it is. There are preachers all of this nation tonight who one time had God's mighty power. It's gone. Years ago, I preached in Canada. This has probably been, I'm going to guess, 25 years ago. I preached for a national pastor's convention at Mary Lake Conference Grounds in Canada. I preached on Monday night. I preached on the subject, Ichabod, the glory has departed. I stayed in a little motel there on the campgrounds. Not a commercial motel, but just a little motel they used there for the campers. Not one, but only one person spoke to me after I preached on Monday. I thought they were mad on Monday night. One person, a fellow named Martin Wedge, used to pastor down in Kilgore, Texas, near where I used to pastor. I'd known before, came up and renewed his fellowship and acquaintance with me. Nobody else said a word. I never was so alone in my life. Went to my room thinking that they were mad at me. I couldn't sleep. I got up about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, decided to put on my clothes and go walk around the lake on that summer day. And as I was walking around the lake praying, "Oh God, Oh, Spirit of God, give me power as I preach today." I heard a voice in the darkness. The voice was saying, "He's right. Oh, God, He's right." I looked up and I saw a preacher walking around the lake 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. He was saying, "Oh, God, that preacher is right. There was a day when I knew you. There was a day when you blessed me. But He's right. Ichabod's been written over my ministry." He was wringing his hands like that. "Oh God, oh God, He's right." I kept on walking. I saw a man sitting on a picnic table, had his feet down on the chair, on the seat there, was sitting up on the table part. And that man had his head in his hands, a preacher. And that preacher, sitting up there with his head in his hands like this, he was crying, "Oh God, what's happened to me? I remember when I used to preach like that man preached a while ago. But oh God, I've lost my power. Oh God, Ichabod's written over my ministry. Oh God, He's right, He's right, He's right." I kept walking around that lake. I do not know how many dozens of preachers I saw walking around that lake at 3:30 and 4 o'clock in the morning. Wait a minute. I walked in the next morning at 10 o'clock to preach. 9 o'clock maybe to preach. There was a strange feeling in that room. Nobody said a word to me as I walked in. Only one person had spoken since I got there the afternoon before. I preached that morning. When I finished preaching, one preacher jumped up and said, "I've got to say a word. I've got to say a word. My ministry is dead. I'm not bearing any fruit. You're right, Brother Hiles. Ichabod, the glory's departed, has been written over my life." He came and threw himself at the altar. Another preacher did the same thing. All of a sudden, we couldn't have any more service. Preachers all over the room were falling on their faces up in Canada, falling on their faces. Finally, one preacher said, "I've got to testify." He got up and confessed his deadness and his dryness. He said, "I blamed everybody but myself." Another preacher testified. That was about 10 o'clock in the morning, I guess, 10:30. We prayed. I mean, we prayed. I don't mean we said, "Dear Lord, bless the missionaries in China, Asia, and Africa, and God is great, God is good. Let us thank Him for the cooperative program." I don't mean that. We prayed. We get a hold of God. That's what America needs. A men of God to get a hold of God. I'm talking about hour upon hour upon hour. I'm talking about tarrying. I'm talking about pleading. I'm talking about intercessory prayer. I'm not talking about 5 minutes to pay your dues every day. He prayed and testified and confessed sin till 12 o'clock noon. The dinner bell rang. Nobody went to eat. They came down the dining hall and said, "Fellas, dinner's getting cold." One preacher said, "I don't want to eat." The preacher's hall said the same thing. "We don't want to eat either." They stayed on their faces and they prayed from 10 to 11 to 12 to 1 to 2 o'clock. Not one preacher ate a bite of food that day. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the announcement came over the loudspeaker. "It's time for the softball game." Preacher said, "Who wants to play softball?" They stayed there till 2 o'clock and prayed and confessed sin and confessed their coldness. They stayed there till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They stayed there till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. They called off the volleyball tournament. They called off the basketball game. They called off the softball tournament. They called off noon meal. They called off the evening meal. And God did a work in those preachers' hearts. And I've got my files. I've got letter after letter, preachers who wrote me 10 weeks later and said, "Brother Hiles, we won more souls to Christ on the highways and restaurants going home from the conference than we'd won in the last 5 years all put together." That's what America needs. We need some salt in our water. We look good, sing well, preach well, dress well, build nice buildings, brooms, blossoms, shoots, but no fruit. I go to churches, preach every year. I go to a church, and in 1 year, I can see the difference. In 1 year, something happened since I was here last year. What is it? Oh, the preacher may say, "Well, bless God, we had a backdoor revival and lost some people we needed to lose." Or, "God pruned the trees." Why don't you admit what it is? Why don't you admit you haven't prayed for 30 minutes at one time in years? Why don't you admit the trouble? Trouble's not the tree. Trouble's not the limb. Trouble's not the roots. The trouble is in the water supply. Need some salt. God's man said, "Bring me a new cruise. Put some salt in it." God's man poured salt in the water supply. And the fruit came. And the city was healed. I thank God tonight. I thank God tonight for the Holy Spirit. I thank God tonight for that day when my father had died a tragic death, an unsaved man. And I went to his grave and threw my face on his grave and stayed. After we buried him, went back. I drove back again later to my father's grave and fell face down. I said, "Dear God, I'm not leaving this place till you do something to me." I lost all awareness of time. But how I thank God tonight for the mighty power of the Holy Spirit that came on my life on the grave of my unconverted dad. I thank God tonight for that morning between 6 and 6:30 many years ago when I was preaching on a broadcast in an empty building at a little church in East Texas. And all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, the Holy Spirit became real to me. And I met him. I'd been saved. I'd been preaching. But I'd never developed a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. I thank God tonight. May I come a little closer. I thank God for the blessed fellowship I have with him now. I thank God for yesterday afternoon. I thank God for this afternoon. You see, I'm not a good enough preacher to make it. Oh, my blossoms are not real pretty. My buds do not draw tourists. My shoots do not bring people on vacation. Bless God. I know the salt. I'm 61 years old. Been preaching for 43 years and pastoring for 41 years. There's no way to account for me. No way. I'm not a giant like a Lee Robertson. I'm no Dwight Moody. I'm no Charles Spurgeon. I'm no John Rice. I'm just a little hell-raising, hell-fire-and-brimstone, barn-storming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling, hell-fire-and-brimstone, fundamental Baptist preacher. That's all I am. My Bible doesn't say I'll pour water upon him who is handsome. My Bible doesn't say I'll pour water upon him who is brilliant. My Bible doesn't say I'll pour water upon him who is a great leader. My Bible doesn't say I'll pour water upon him who is a theologian. My Bible says I'll pour water on him who is thirsty. And anybody can get thirsty. I'm looking tonight at some mighty pretty cities. I'm looking at some Christian people. You look mighty good tonight. Your blooms are fine. Your blossoms are lovely. The shoots are coming forth. But the sad truth is, there's something wrong down in here, down beneath the soil. Folks at home think you're a pretty good Christian. Folks at work think you're a fanatic even. Folks who look at you and go to church with you think you're tops. But there's something wrong down beneath the collarbone. The average person in this room tonight has not spoken one word today to the Holy Spirit. You wonder why your Sunday school class has quit growing. Wonder why your bus route flourishes for a while. Wonder why your church does okay for a while. I'll tell you why. You got some good blossoms. You got some good blooms. You got some good shoots. They don't bring fruit. You take the Holy Spirit, pour him in the supply. And the Holy Spirit cures the water and gives you an inner power, an inner strength. Now listen, that's why you hear about preachers who decide to quit. Heard about a preacher yesterday. Somebody said, by the way, graduated this college. Said he's now running a chain of Denny's restaurants. I hope he's here now. You haven't got any more business running a chain of Denny's restaurants than I do being a stripper down here in Calumet City. Why don't you get some salt in your life? God, give us once again a reality in our Christianity. The reality of Him who indwells us. The reality of Him who comforts us. The reality of Him who fills us. The reality of Him who strengthens us. The reality of Him who empowers us. The great neglected person in the average church in America, in the average ministry in America, in the average preacher's life in America, in the average Christian life in America. The neglected, forgotten person is the only person that can keep the fruit coming. Keep the fruit coming. Father,